You are back with The Conversation here on Hawaii Public Radio. 2020, the year is almost over, thank heavens, but our economy is still struggling to recover from the COVID-19 shutdown. Can we see the way any clearer? Well, this morning we talked to Mufi Hanuman, head of the Hawaii Lodging and Tourism Association, which represents hoteliers in a very vital industry. Does more need to be done to encourage our tourists to wear their masks to help keep our community safe? The latest calls are from Honolulu's Mayor Kirk Caldwell and from Senate President Ron Kochi.
I did, in fact, respond to Senator Kochi. I told him all the things that we're doing. He said, oh, yeah, I'm seeing this happen and so forth. I think what's happening now is an automatic tendency to say that tourists are responsible, but for not wearing the mask and so forth, or that we should be doing more on the tourism side. But, you know, it goes beyond. I mean, when they leave the premises, when they leave the hotels, we also need to make sure that the community is doing their part and that law enforcement is also stepping up and not just issuing warnings. I mean, you got to put some teeth in it. Let's issue citations. Let's attach a fine to it. I mean, we're doing a lot to try to get them to understand. But I also want to be clear. When I trip to Waikiki every day, I do daily walks to Waikiki, sometimes twice a day. And there's a lot of local people that are not wearing their mask. When they come into our building and they park in their garage and they go surfing, groups of them are never wearing their masks. So it's a two-way street here. Yes, we need to make sure that when the visitors come here, and I think the industry is doing all it can, from the Hawaii Tourism Authority, HVCB, out at the airport, when they come to the hotels. But also, I think the community has to take responsibility. Let's keep in mind, the community spread really started, and the virus really started from people going to the mainland, visiting hotspots, and they brought it back here. It wasn't the tourists that really created this major problem that we had. So I'd like to see, and I said this to Senator Kochi and Mayor Caldwell, is that we all have to take responsibility for this. I mean, you watch TV at night, there's tons of commercials. And great commercials having people, reminding people to wear their masks. But why is there still a problem? So to me, I think they got to do a little more tightening up. Let's attach a fine when people are given citations. Right now, they don't get an automatic fine. They go to court, and they can hopefully appeal it. I've heard of several stories where they go to court, and the police officer is really busy with other duties. They don't show up. And the case is dismissed.
So what are the hotels doing?
Well, they know it. It's part of our standards of hygiene and protocol. It's signage all over the place when you go into the hotels. They are also reminded about that visually as well as in-room video that are displayed in each of the hotels. It's a situation where it's being taken seriously. Three things that they see all over the place about hygiene, washing your hands, social distancing, and wearing your mask. When they leave the hotels, once again, it's, we're not police officers. We don't follow them outside the hotel to make sure when they visit a restaurant and they take off their mask to eat that they're going to put it back on automatically. We'll continue to redouble our efforts in that regard, but I think also, too, they have to look in terms of how the community can assist. I don't see why local people can't remind tourists to wear their masks, too. That's another way of helping out. Let's be the eyes and ears. You know, we've had neighborhood police, community, neighborhood watch programs. And in Waikiki, we have an ambassador program. They all augment and complement in eyes and ears of police officers. I think it's no different now with the mask situation. You know, let's take matters into our own hands and remind visitors that are being careless and are not following the rules here to wear their masks.
I can't recall now if you were mayor during the APEC conference, and I know we had that civil patrol with HPD where they were going out, you know, just keeping an eye on things, but doing it with aloha.
Absolutely, and I think that's where it comes down to right now. I do that all the time. And in fact, I thank tourists who are wearing a mask. I tell them, thank you. Thanks for, when in Rome, when in Hawaii, do as the Romans, do as the Hawaiians. Wear your mask.
A number of your members have opted not to open up right away. You know, some have delayed openings to, you know, November 1st, November 15th, some not till December. You know, what's the snapshot on the properties?
Well, I think right now, by the end of October, maybe between 65-69% of the hotels will be open. When November rolls around, obviously the number increases to 85-90%, and then certainly when we hit December, we're shooting for about 95% of them will be open. And there's a variety of reasons why some have elected to wait longer. One thing that we cannot discount is the huge losses that have been incurred as a result of being shuttered. You know, from hundreds of thousands of dollars for individual properties, some of them as high as $2.5-3 million a month they've incurred by staying closed. And then all the expenses that have been incurred as a result of investing in PPE, technology, apps, doing the kind of things that we're making sure that when the visitor comes, they're well aware of the new normal, you know, reconfiguring floor plans, what have you. So these things have cost money. And then the third thing is just not knowing what the demand's going to look like. We talked about we'd be very happy if we got to 5,000 visitors a day. And it seems that we've hit that mark, and it could get higher before the month of October is over. So all of those things, coupled with the new instructions of coming here, you may recall the first couple of days, people were still coming to Hawaii, despite the widespread publicity and information that was being put out that you have to take a test to come here. Well, there were still some coming on the planes that did not take a test. So all of these things suggest that some of them wanted to take a wait-and-see approach and see how this whole thing is going to unfold, as well as what the pent-up demand would be for travel to Hawaii in this new normal. And so that's why they've delayed their opening. But one thing's for sure, they are ready to go. The HLTA standards of hygiene and protocols have all been put into place. We also started a campaign with the Hawaii Chamber of Commerce, Hawaii Ag Foundation, Hawaii Airlines called Makaukau. We are ready to show across the board all the things that a visitor will be able to experience when they come here in terms of knowing that small businesses, restaurants, retail, attractions, hotels will all be open and ready to welcome them here.
You know, I did talk to someone who is volunteering at an event, I think, this weekend with your group to help distribute food.
Yes, it'll happen this Friday. It's part of our Aloha Later campaign, and we're teaming up with Aloha Harvest, and we plan to give out 1,500 bundles of food at Aloha Stadium. This is the third effort that we've teamed up with Aloha Harvest, and, you know, we've been averaging 1,000 to 1,500 bundles of food. So, you know, once again, the industry has been hurting, which is why it's so important that we open up this economy and put people back to work. The numbers are staggering. You know, over 75% of businesses have gone through some kind of reduction, some kind of cut, some type of furlough as a result of being in this economic slump for the past several months. So we still need to do these food drives, and when we can partner with an organization that can help us in this regard, we jump at that opportunity. And we're doing it on every island with other nonprofit groups. We're doing it on Kauai, we're doing it on Maui, we're doing it on Hawaii Island, all to make sure that we can distribute food to needy families.
And what do you say to the concerns of the hotel workers union, you know, just about the fact that, you know, workers are being laid off and, you know, they were trying to get the most senior members hired first. And they're just concerned that, you know, the hotels are going to use this as an excuse to cut costs and hire people back at a cheaper rate.
We all want everyone to be gainfully employed. But at the end of the day, with union hotels, there's a thing called collective bargaining. And that's where those kind of issues are resolved. That's where there's recall provisions in those agreements. There's opportunities to negotiate with management. And so keep in mind, Kathy, you know, we have hotels that have affiliations with Local 5. We have hotels that have labor affiliations with the ILWU. And then we have non-union hotels. So we just have one union in particular that can't seem to get their way 100% with the hotels that they bargain with. So they're turning to government to mandate to private employers that they must rehire everyone according to occupancy. Now, that's not showing an understanding of how hotels operate. Occupancy rate is just one measurement. If you work in food and beverage, if you work in banks and catering, you go based on the number of events that have been booked, or the number of reservations that have been made. That's how you determine when people have to be coming to work to staff you. Valet service is no different. That's based on daily arrivals and departures.
There is a concern about keeping, you know, guests and workers safe. And I know, you know, we've been talking bubbles and, you know, just different concepts. There was a issue that arose over at Ko'olina about public access and limiting locals, you know, getting into parking and getting into those lagoons over there. Any thoughts on that?
It's a private area, but certainly, you know, when you talk about beach in Hawaii, the use of our ocean, you can't close that off. And so I'm glad that there's an agreement that has been reached to allow local people to continue to have access to the ocean area and recreational areas and the like. So I think in this particular case, it always has to be looked upon that way, certainly with areas in Waikiki too, where, you know, none of the hotels can claim that they have exclusive use of the frontage of their hotel. If it's a beach area, it has to be opened up. It has to be accessible to the public.
And that was part of a conversation we had this morning with former Honolulu Mayor Mufi Hanuman, now head of the Hawaii Lodging and Tourism Association.